Crazy Porks who host this show. They give relationship advice that you ought to know. Your thirst for entertainment, they will quench, cause Stephanie's a darling and Mike is a mensch. Pork therapy, advice this good is a rarity. It's cool, fun, and introspective. Relationship talk from a liberty perspective, oh. And did I mention you can leave a message, you can voice a question, a joke, a comment, or something more at 419-PT-LOVE-4. Pork therapy, scatty-dee-bop, shabba-dooey, you'll revel in hilarity. It's pork therapy.
Hello.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Pork Therapy.
Another exciting and scintillating episode of Pork Therapy.
This is Mike.
And this is Stephanie.
And I'm exciting, and you're scintillating.
I believe you're a mensch, and I'm a darling, but not in that order. I'm a darling, and you're a mensch.
That'll work.
According to our theme song, anyway.
What's a mensch?
We answered that in the last episode.
Yes, listen to the last episode.
That's right. That's a great plug for our previous shows, which you can hear, by the way, if you go to porktherapy.com. That's our website, right, Mike?
Right. porctherapy.com.
Indeed. And how can listeners... Oh, what are we? We're Pork Therapy, right?
We're a podcast about relationships from a liberty perspective.
Yes, that's a great way to sum it up. And we think that relationships are the foundation of a voluntary society, which is what we all want and need and strive towards. So if you have relationship questions you would like to hear us answer on the show, or if you want to be on the show with us, or...
Any kind of relationship. Any kind of relationship, including that with you and your pet.
Right. Yeah. I don't know why you just said that, but I'm going to run with it. Yeah, like love, business, family, friends, any kind
right.
of relationship.
So if you and your dog are business partners, then you can call in and ask about that relationship.
Wow, that would be an awesome business. Right. Yeah.
Okay.
Selling rawhide on the side of the road. So, agorist rawhide. Anyway.
So this episode, we do have a listener question, and we have a listener on the line to ask it.
We sure do. And this is the famous
Lauren Canario.
Hey there, this is Lauren.
Actually, Lauren, I'd known you for years and I still don't know. I've never found out if the proper way to pronounce your name is Canario or Canario.
Ah, well, I usually anglicize it like Canario, canary.
Okay. Well, I think that would be more accurate than what I would choose. So Canario, gotcha.
I think it's whatever Lauren decides.
Yes. So welcome to the show.
Thank you. And I'm a big fan. I love to... I actually I know when to a new Pork Therapy is up because I am one of your three followers on Twitter.
That's awesome. Actually, you know, the funny thing is
we used to have three followers for months and months and months.
Yeah, us and then like one other person.
It must have been Lauren.
It must have been. But then we just actually checked it today and we had 50 followers.
Yay.
So that was an improvement.
Yes, thanks for following us, everybody.
Yeah, pretty cool. So, but Lauren, thanks a lot. That's nice. You've been with us since the beginning. I remember you appeared on one of the
early episodes
of Pork Therapy.
Back in the old days when we had, crankable podcast.
That's right.
Podcast broadcasters.
Podcast broadcast. Okay, so what is your question for this show?
Oh, let's see. I had a question for you, too, because I like the way you guys, you can keep talking, forever. Like, if no one stopped you, you could keep going talking probably for days at a time.
But, wow. And that's a compliment?
That's a compliment that we've never received anything quite like that.
Give you an idea of what it's like from the other side of the spectrum here, from a person who doesn't talk very often.
Well, that's your specialty.
So, that's kind of cool because when I actually do talk, people usually listen, but I'm silent, most of the time. Don't have a lot of comments or to tell jokes or anything. And, a relationship between me and my husband is better, I think, when we're talking more. Oh. So, I'm looking for some tips or some, pointers on how to, keep the silence from, becoming hours and hours long.
Hmm.
Okay.
I see. And can I ask a little follow-up? by the way, it was kind of funny how when you were just asking that question right now, Mike and I just realized that we were going to talk and we zipped our lips off. Let you finish the question. But I actually was curious, Lauren, you said the relationship is better with you and your husband when you're talking more. How is he on the silence to talking spectrum?
Well, for those who don't know, my husband, Jim, we are both on the super silent end of the spectrum. And I actually talk more than he does, usually.
The super silent, wow.
Mm. I see. So, Mike, what do you think about this? You want Mike's pointing to me.
Well, I don't know. I mean, so I guess, so the, Lauren, the question is, how do you talk more, right?
Right. Besides drinking a lot of alcohol, I suppose.
That could get expensive and harmful after a while.
Yeah, you'll talk more, but you might not like what you've said. Exactly. When you wake up and they tell you what it was.
Yeah.
Okay. So that brought the first thought to my mind about how to answer this question, and that is tangents. So maybe one thing you could do is talk about tangents, talk about any random thing that's happening or that you saw or that you heard or that's, you know, whatever, that's not, you know, that's not relevant to any, you know, anything you guys are doing in the room at the moment. You guys are sitting there reading books or whatever or surfing the web, and it's not relevant, but you just happen to see a cute picture or you thought of something that you said the other day or some weird tangent. Maybe just talking about that will help start a conversation about something you're both interested in.
I just burped hot dog.
Yes.
Awesome.
Yes. Now, sometimes maybe these tangents will sputter out after 30 seconds.
And then they'll be like, speaking of hot dogs, have you heard about how they treat these pigs?
Exactly.
Oh my gosh, I'm so concerned.
Yeah, the reason I thought of this is because when a writer has writer's block, everyone always tells them, write no matter what, even if you don't know what you're writing or your writing is garbage, write, and that will get you back in the habit of writing well.
Hmm.
So I'm thinking, well, maybe just talk, even if it's about nonsense.
Verbalize your thoughts.
Yeah.
So that's one possible idea.
Yeah, I like that idea. Sometimes it's totally true. So, like, for instance, the other day I saw a picture of someone who had dressed their baby up in a porcupine costume.
It was quite cute.
And we did a famous or now infamous show about that where we were disagreeing about people, our opinions on people dressing up their babies against the baby's will instead strawberries or other costumes. So I sent Mike this picture of the baby porcupine.
It was very cute.
And we ended up having a conversation about it that was right. Somewhat serious.
Right.
So,
do you think nervousness comes into effect for you, Lauren?
Yeah, I do. I do believe it stems from nervousness.
I have one question. I have a suggestion to deal with that. I think if you're with someone else who is clammed up and you sense that maybe they're nervous, one thing that helps is to ask questions.
Yeah, that's another way to
spur discussion.
Yes.
I've noticed that you're not saying anything. Is it because you're afraid I'm going to make fun of you or what?
Yeah, that could be one approach. Or I was just thinking any question that kind of comes to mind. Anything from, oh, you're kind of quiet, what are you thinking? Or like, penny for your thoughts or something like that, to, hey, did you hear that last episode of Pork Therapy? I couldn't believe it when they said this.
Awesome.
How would they say something like this?
Don't you think those guys are the greatest?
What?
Or maybe even something like, hey, do you want to play a game of Scrabble later? Or what do you want for dinner? Because what do you want for dinner is probably not going to spur the most in-depth conversation, but it might at least get words coming, and then maybe a tangent will flow.
Mm-hmm.
So, and started from a question.
I agree that any kind of talking is better than none at some times.
Mm.
Okay.
Or how about, I really love it when we have conversations, and I think we have the most awesome conversations. And I just love it. Like, the more you talk to me, the more I love it. So don't hold back.
Do you know how Jim feels about this?
Well, I think he feels a lot like I do. Nervous about talking, worried that people aren't going to listen or going to, swat down your ideas that you come up with.
Interesting. So you're talking about talking in general, not to each other?
Both, actually. Anybody.
Okay. All right.
I think I would like to go back to something that you just said, Lauren, about feeling like nervous or anxious that someone would swat down your idea or not listen to what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
Did that, was that something that you experienced, like, maybe when you were a kid or something?
Constantly, yeah. Oh. So I'm trying to get over that.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. It seems like that would be a total, because that's when those patterns are formed, right?
I don't know, but it would seem, it seems logical to me that most personality traits are formed when you're a kid.
Yeah.
That's my guess.
It just seems like an experience, like, growing up in a place where every time you said something, someone would say, oh, well, that's a bad idea, or, oh, shut up, kid, or whatever.
Yeah.
Right.
Then
that's
that would
build a habit of being silent.
Yeah, then you would just learn to be silent in response to that. So maybe one of the keys to changing this is to realize that that's what the root of the silence is, and then just say, hey, I'm not in that environment anymore. I'm with someone who loves me and values my ideas and isn't going to make fun of me every time I talk or isn't going to tell me to shut up.
Right. And also to recognize that even though they were mean, or in addition to them having been mean, they were wrong.
Right.
And also maybe you could take that into like a practice session. Like maybe you could have get togethers with people you know and trust a lot, like Jim and I don't know, your closest friends once in a while. And, you know, just have it a very casual evening where I'm guessing you would feel more comfortable to talk amongst these people because they're less likely to swat down your ideas because you're all friends.
Mm.
Does that seem like a possibility?
Yeah, definitely exercise the ability. Yeah.
Right.
Mm. And maybe being on She Talk Live will help break out of the fear.
Yeah, that's part of my, resolution or something that decided to try to speak out more often.
Wow.
Well, that's great because...
Not to cops, though, right?
Yeah, them too.
Oh, wow. That's a whole change in raison d'etre.
Yeah, that's very interesting. Well, Lauren, I'm glad that you've resolved to say more because I like what you have to say.
I definitely like what you have to say.
And now I will blather on about what I had for lunch for the next 40 minutes.
And how they treat the cows on
We've
the hot dog farm.
A monster.
No, this is a good thing because. So, Mike, I just had a thought. Let's flip this around. Someone who talks a lot or talks when they get nervous.
Uh-huh.
What do you think might be the root of that or the reason for that?
I don't know. Maybe fear of seeming ignorant or being ignored.
Yeah.
When I said fear of being ignorant, I mean. What's the opposite of a know-it-all? Is there such a thing? A know-nothing?
The opposite of a know-it-all?
Yeah. Yeah, because maybe they're afraid of people thinking they don't know anything, so they always comment on everything.
Hmm.
Interesting.
I don't know. What do you think, Lauren? What would be the reason why there are for people to always talk?
I don't know. You're kind of... if you want to direct the conversation, talking is the way to do it.
That's true. It's control. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's a control thing.
Mm-hmm. Now I don't want to say anything.
I did it. It worked. Yes.
You know, I think you're right, though, Stephanie. You're right, too, Lauren. But I think also it's the attention thing. Because sometimes when I'm on a talking roll, and I'm really thinking about when I'm throwing out jokes at a party or something,
mm-hmm.
I love the attention. I love people when people laugh when I want them to laugh. So I just keep going.
Uh-huh.
So maybe it's just the attention.
Attention, huh? Yeah.
Yeah.
Or, so I would be, like, afraid of attention. And...
Maybe.
Yeah.
Are you?
Oh, yeah, I like feel like getting under the bed if I'm the center of attention.
Wow.
Mm.
Well, that might be really key here because when you're talking, you're always the center of at least one person's attention who's listening, right?
If they're listening, yeah.
Well, if they're listening. And if they're not, then you're feeling hurt.
Yeah.
So if you don't like being the center of attention, surely it changes. Like if you were... You know, if you were giving a speech in a podium to 10,000 people, that's a different center of attention than if you're talking to one friend. But maybe that has something to do with it. You just don't like the attention.
But yeah, that's another thing that goes back to childhood, I suppose.
How does that...
Like everything.
How did that come out of your childhood? I'm just curious if that specific trait comes out. How do you not want attention when you're a child? Because all the attention was bad.
All the attention is bad, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Wow. Unpleasant.
Yeah. That's
interesting.
That's so unfortunate.
Yeah,
I'm really sorry about that.
Well, if you got together with friends and practiced not only just talking, like tangents or questions, just to get talking going, and practiced being that very small focus of attention while you're talking, do you think that would help? And if it did, do you think that would be like five practice sessions or like 5 years of practice sessions?
Well, probably not 5 years, but I'm not completely silent or clamped up entirely, so at least I can speak for a few minutes before I get super anxious. But I don't think I have that far to go. Maybe 2 years.
Kind of in the middle between 5 sessions and 5 years, right?
Actually, also, I think what you just said was pretty important, and that is that you're not the totally silent person, so that means you already can do it and do it. And I don't know if you enjoy talking for the amount that you do, but maybe you're... Do you think you talk more to people now than you did, say, 5 years ago?
Yes, definitely.
Oh, have you been thinking about this issue for many years, or did you just recently explicitly come to the idea that you want to talk more?
Yeah, I never consciously thought of it until, a year or two ago.
Oh. Well, then it seems like you're already making progress.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah, for sure. One last thing I did want to drop in, just as a suggestion. There's this little book that I used to have, and I think it's by, Gregory Stock, I think is the author. It's called, like, The Book of Questions. Anybody ever heard of this? I think Mike's girlfriend has
I borrowed yours.
Oh, you borrowed mine?
Yes, I have yours.
That's why I'm missing it. Anyway, it's this little book of questions, and it has basically kind of like philosophical or ethics-related questions. And you can open it up and just look at a random one, and it'll say something like, if you could take a pill that would allow you to feel refreshed but never sleep, would you do it for, like, buy it for $5 million or something like that,
Oh, cool.
Actually, that's the reason I borrowed this book from you, Stephanie. I think I opened it with perusing it once and saw the question was kind of interesting. And so I borrowed it so that me and my girlfriend just could ask each other a different question every night. And so we'd take turns who answers first, and we asked one question every night. And so it lasted like almost a year.
Oh, wow.
It was really cool. So maybe that's a great thing to... It's like an artificial conversation starter, Lauren. It's just like, hey, it's 8:15. It's the time we agreed to answer a question, so let's read it and talk about it.
That sounds like fun.
I thought it was very much fun.
Indeed. Yeah, and the author is Gregory Stock, by the way. We just Googled it.
Yeah, we'll link to it in the show notes.
And I think there are actually like more than one version of this book.
Yeah.
Like there's the Book of Questions, there's the Book of Questions about business, there's the Book of Questions about love and sex, and there are like different... Which was also fun, I'm sure. But I'm sure it would really help you get to know someone a lot better, especially someone that you have a close relationship with. You might find out things that you never knew, or you might be able to better... I guess, hash out or develop your kind of philosophical principles or ethical ideas of how you would act in certain situations. So,
and I got to tell you, some of the questions were not necessarily awkward to answer, but uncomfortable perhaps. Like they ask some of the questions out of the like 250 or so asked things that I might not want to say or might not want to even recognize about myself. And here we are asking about them with doing nothing else. We're talking about these topics. So you've got to be prepared to say, I don't want to talk about this one, or this one makes me uncomfortable. Let's skip to the next one. Or let's say you are indeed talking about a question with Jim or whomever, and it's getting too in depth or too touchy or something, then say, well, I've had enough of this question.
Skip this one.
Yeah.
Or just say, this one makes me very afraid.
Yes. Yeah. And obviously that's, not obviously, but maybe that would be something you'd want to visit about yourself later. But then you could just say, hey, we've talked about this. Let's switch topic or let's talk about something else now.
Yeah, that's that would be interesting.
Good thought, Stephanie. I really enjoyed doing that book of questions.
Oh, cool. Well, I'm glad. And you know what, Mike? I just found out something that I didn't know about you. I didn't know that you and your
borrowed
girlfriend
your book.
Were... I didn't know you borrowed my book. That's called stealing my... Just kidding. I don't mind that you borrowed it, but I'm really glad to know that you were enjoying it so much and having fun with it. So that's very cool. So maybe Lauren can borrow my book next. And Lauren, does that give you some good starts to an answer to your question? Or
yeah, that's definitely something to start with. Excellent.
Awesome. Well, cool. Thank you.
Try to blather when I don't, when I think I shouldn't, and go off on tangents, whatever hits my brain, and borrow Stephanie's book.
That's right.
Of questions.
Yes, questions is another one. And Stephanie's book is yet another one.
And most of all, remember that you're among friends, and they're not going to shoot down your idea or berate you or anything if you say what's on your mind.
Right. You know, this is kind of a... This is a tangent. I'll go on a limb and say this is a tangent.
Okay.
But when I moved to New Hampshire for the Free State Project a couple years ago and met Lauren for the first time, and actually we started hanging out at various social events,
mm-hmm.
one of my favorite things about my new life living in New Hampshire was making Lauren laugh. Saying jokes or doing whatever, and then having her laugh, I could hear her laugh above everyone else's in the room. And for some reason, I loved making Lauren laugh.
All right. That's a good position to be in.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much for calling the show tonight, Lauren.
All right. Thanks for all your advice.
And thanks for talking to us.
Yeah, thank you for talking. That was a good one.
It wasn't easy.
Well, and you did well, and I appreciate it.
And now next, this show might actually air around the same time that another show airs, which is every once a month. I host the Sunday edition of Free Talk Live,
mm-hmm.
and I call it She Talk Live because I have all female co-hosts on. So it's, you know, there's been some controversy about whether, oh, who cares if they're all women or not, but they're all women, and we call it She Talk Live. It's kind of a gimmick. So Lauren is going to be on with me the next time that this show airs. So it is called She Talk Live, Lauren, so we're going to have to talk. And if there's anything that would help you get over a reluctance to talk, it's talking for 3 hours straight on the radio. So
Glad I'm not doing that. At least you'll have co-hosts so you can at least take turns.
Oh yeah, they back me up very well.
Cool.
We all back each other up, and it's always really fun. Like we've done this once before, and it was myself, Carla, and Lauren, and it was an awesome show. I had a really good time. Every time that I do this, it's always really fun for me. So I hope that they both have the same experience too.
That's also another excellent way to practice. I mean, I don't know what you feel when you're doing that show, Lauren, but you're in a radio station. So there's no, other than your fellow co-hosts like Stephanie.
Yeah, that's like
no
as scary
people,
as it gets.
Yeah, there's, well.
Oh, sorry, Mike.
It can be. I understand why, because you're on live radio. But it also is the opposite, because there's no one there to slap down your ideas. You're like just talking.
That's true.
Maybe a podcast.
Until the callers call in, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Then we can just hang up on them.
Exactly.
Okay, good.
You've got your finger on the button. So
exactly.
You're in
control. We have all the power. Yeah.
All right.
All right, Lauren. Thanks. Thank you very much. And
cool. Thanks a lot.
That was a great question.
And have a good evening.
You too.
Bye.
And thank you for listening to the show. Wait, do we have to do an outro, right, Mike?
Yes, okay, so...
Something, some semblance of professionalism.
All you other listeners out there, thank you for listening. And if you want to talk, you can send Stephanie an email at stephanie@porktherapy.com.
He's sending the talk emails to me so that people can talk at me.
And that's then, right.
And it'll go into this nebulous thing of my email box.
This nebulous thing called the trash can.
But, that's right, to be read by the trash can elves, but... But if you want to send us your relationship questions, you should email us at questions@porktherapy.com. And that is, of course, porktherapy.com.
Right. Or you can call us like Lauren did at area code 419-PT-LOVE-4. Actually, that's not what Lauren did, but that's what you can do. Lauren has a special in.
She does.
But that's the number you can call if you want to record your question or if you want to schedule a time for you to be on the show with us.
And go to our website. You can do all those things from there. It's really not even necessary to tell you our email, because you can totally email us from our website. So
also on our website, you can click a link and find out what the Liberty Radio Network is.
Exactly, exactly. And you can also find us on Facebook and Twitter. We are PORC Therapy.
Right.
And
even you might be able to find us on Facebook, considering they're changing the layout again next couple days. But whatever. I don't like Facebook.
Are we on Diaspora yet?
No.
No.
I guess I could invite us. It's so pointless. Diaspora is going to be awesome, but right now it's almost useless. So
how do you know it's going to be awesome?
I'm hoping.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, everybody, for listening.
Thank you. We'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.
They're two crazy porks who host this show. They give relationship advice that you ought to know. Your thirst for entertainment, they will quench, cause Stephanie's a darling and Mike is a mensch. Pork therapy, advice this good is a rarity. It's cool, fun, and introspective. Relationship talk from a liberty perspective. Oh, and did I mention you can leave a message, you can voice a question, a joke, a comment, or something more at 419-PT.